The Devil's Advocates radio show is broadcast under a time brokerage agreement between Devil Radio and Civic Media, Inc. Some portions of this program may be pre-recorded. Warning! You're about to listen to the greatest radio show ever, and due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Now live from the Civic Media Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning, welcome to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
And now, here's your hosts, Dom and Kroot.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates radio show, Dom. We've made it all the way to Friday. Thank God. How you doing, little buddy?
Friday. Rudy, hey, happy Friday to you. Rich on the board. Thank you, sir. Yes, we made it, everyone. Thanks for tuning into the political party.
Well, Tom, as you know, it is our tradition to air the grievances, and we got to find guests coming up in the 5 o'clock happy hour. That's not a grievance. Former U.S. Attorney James Santel with the newly named Saturday Morning Show on the Civic Media Network, the Amicus Brief or something like that.
He'll tell us all about it.
You know, I was unaware that cannolis, plural, was cannoli, and that got to be problematic with the morning cannolis. Grammatically, it was problematic. I don't know how to properly pronounce amicus either. I'm not sure if it's amicus or amicus. So here I am mispronouncing the man's name again. I do that. That's what I'm famous for.
James Santel, that's what you need to know. Former U.S. attorney, friend of ours, coming around the 5 o'clock hour. Lots and lots of legal things to catch up on with Jim.
Well, Dom, I'm going to lead today with some breaking news. And this broke minutes ago, right as you were joining me on the airwaves. CNN reporting, U.S. actively preparing for a significant attack by Iran that could come within the next week. Man, this is not a headline I need to see on a Friday afternoon. The U.S. is on high alert and actively preparing for a significant, and that's in quotes, attack within the next week by Iran in response to Monday's Israeli strike in Damascus that killed top Iranian commanders, a senior administration official, tells CNN. Senior U.S. officials currently believe that an attack by Iran is inevitable, a view shared by their Israeli counterparts, that official said. The two governments are furiously working to get in position ahead of what is to come, as they anticipate that Iran's attack could unfold in a number of different ways, and that both U.S. and Israeli assets and personnel are at risk of being targeted. And the forthcoming Iranian attack was a major topic of discussion on President Joe Biden's phone call with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu on Thursday. As of Friday, the two governments did not know when or how Iran planned to strike back, the official said, Dom.
Yeah, there's more on this, Crudy, from CNN Breaking News. Their point, a direct strike on Israel by Iran is one of the worst case scenarios for the Biden administration that the Biden administration is bracing for, as it would guarantee rapid escalation of an already tumultuous situation in the Middle East. Such a strike could lead to the Israel-Hamas war broadening to a wider regional conflict, something Biden has long sought to avoid. Iran vowed to take revenge after Israel's airstrike on Iran's embassy complex in Syria, which killed at least 7 officials, including a top commander, senior commanders, among those killed, according to the Iranian Foreign Ministry. The U.S. was quick to inform Iran that the Biden administration was not involved and had no advanced knowledge of Monday's strike on the embassy and has warned Iran against coming after American assets.
Well, that is an interesting footnote to the CNN reporting. If Biden has made a point of telling the Iranians that he was not part of the decision-making process, that this isn't retribution by us on them, why would the attack on us be inevitable? Is it guilt by association? Our association with the Israelis is going to get us attacked?
what else would it be?
Well, where
that would certainly be the way I view this.
I look at this, you know, when you talk about an attack, I would say on U.S. assets, but where are we exposed currently, Dom? I mean, I'm not seeing a mainland attack. I don't think Iran's going to show up in the U.S. on commercial airliners. So let's assume we're talking about a foreign theater. Where do you think we're vulnerable? I mean, is this going to pop up in Syria? Where does this actually turn into an attack on U.S. assets?
Yeah, anywhere that throw Iran a dart? Has a reach, and we have military assets, which is all over the place, as you know. So yeah, I don't know, but apparently an attack is imminent, according to the new reporting. Not a great news. And again, what is Israel going and bombing an embassy in Syria? Iran's, I mean, what was that all about? I mean, we know obviously there's, you know, the tumultuous Middle East, isn't it always though? In my entire lifetime, it's not been anything but tumultuous.
President Joe Biden is expected, Dom, to be in Madison, Wisconsin on Monday. Now, we don't have specific details. It is our intent, my intent, of credentialing and going to the Biden event. We hope to bring you coverage, you know, just sort of predictive math. Last couple of times through, Biden has been giving sort of mid-afternoon speeches. And if you want to hear it live, hopefully it falls during the Devil's Advocates, 3 to 6, baby. If you didn't know, make a note of it. But we will play the speech for you when Joe is in Madison. You know, if the stars and solar eclipses align, Dom. That'll be interesting. Joe probably will be giving a speech while the solar eclipse is going on here in Madison.
Oh, man.
Little is dark side of the moon action going on Monday,
Dom. Is it a sign from God?
Well,
that's what MTG said.
You know, there has been some reporting and some opinion pieces, and I think Alexandria Petrie is usually quite clever on this. The eclipse and earthquakes are omens. That's what she says. I think she's quoting MTG and a few others. Did you hear there was a earthquake in New York City today? Sort of originated in Jersey, I guess. Like Bedminster? A 4.5.
I mean, what is Trump hiding up there, man? The earthquake machine that he took out of the White House.
I've got a quote for you, Dom.
All right.
God is sending America strong signs to tell us to repent. Earthquakes and eclipses and many more things to come. I pray that our country listens. That's Marjorie Taylor Greene. Chaos, omen, signs. The earthquakes and the moon blots out the sun. Something is seriously awry in the country. Clearly, someone is trying to warn us of something. Clearly, we have angered God.
Oh, yeah?
I'm not saying clearly we have angered God in the sense that I genuinely don't understand science, and as a consequence, everything in the world frightens me like a little baby who's not sure the sun will come back ever again. I'm a member of Congress. I know that the sun will come back because we passed a law about daylight savings time, and now the sun is obligated to us. And I don't know why more people are not more terrified of the signs. Everywhere I look, big red ones saying, stop! Placed in the streets, almost as if coordinated. Sometimes I try to cross the road. A red hand flashes in the air along with the mysterious numbers, a countdown. But to what? Then the illuminated white figure of a man appears and the cars in concert stop. The other day, a liquid fell from the sky, wet like tears, but cold, not quite like tears. It was frightening, as if the sky was weeping. And then there was rumbling around like God's Harley Davidson motorcycle was starting up, or God was unfurling a really heavy flag. What did it mean? And sometimes there are little things in the sky that look like chemtrails, but fluffier. Who put them there? And why? And sometimes the rivers rise. Sometimes I see a duck for no good reason. I've never done anything wrong in my life, but others have. Maybe Speaker Mike Johnson. Maybe others. We must outlaw everything to be safe. Outlaw everything, Dom. The earth is changing in terrifying ways, and we've got to act differently, not along the lines of speeding the transition to renewable energy. I mean, the way of maybe we should sacrifice a goat. I am a rational woman of faith, and I think maybe we should pray hard on Monday so the moon will release the sun and not eat it. any of this, Dom.
But while we're at it, Crudy, let's examine this double standard. When the air fills with smoke and the temperature rises, you say it's good science to say the scary thing that the Earth is doing right now is because mankind did something wrong. But I say that the eclipse and the earthquake are because of sins one time, and suddenly I don't understand basic science? Question mark? Yes!
Do you think we should, punishing us. We should explain this as sarcasm for a few of our conservative friends?
No, not yet. Not yet. God is punishing us. It used to be you could walk all the way from across the comfortable flat of the Earth and the sun would rise and set in orderly way. Now the Earth is a ball hurling through the vacuum of space. Now we have Wi-Fi, but should we? Clearly someone is upset, but unfortunately I understand what's going on. The signs tell me everything.
Dom, it's not just the Wi-Fi that's getting us. It's the 5G Wi-Fi.
Oh, Dad, what are you saying?
Careful.
Here's Rep. Marjorie Taylor Greene saying an actual quote. God is sending America strong signs to tell us to repent. Earthquakes and eclipses, cats and dogs living together, mass hysteria, and many more things to come. I pray that our country listens. And here's what, you know me, man. I don't believe any of this, right? But MTG, if you're right, what makes you think that God is giving us a sign to repent? Maybe God is giving you a sign to say maybe you shouldn't back the false orange messiah prophet Donald Trump, who pretends to be a Christian, who sells Bibles on Easter for $60 a pop. What makes you think that you got a bead on what God is thinking?
You're not qualified to tell me what God's thinking. I'm qualified to tell you what God's thinking. And he's a wrathful, vengeful God. He loves America and nowhere else.
Yeah, and Andy loves my favorite basketball team and football team. I'm going to see God tonight, man. I'm going to a concert, like a Pink Floyd tribute kind of band.
Oh, so. Are you?
Yeah, man. So I'm going to work my damnedest to see God tonight. I'll let you know on Monday how it goes.
You'll have to get some of that devil lettuce from our friends over at Herbal Aspect. Yeah. HerbalAspect.com. Order code DEVILS. We're partners now, Dom.
Excellent.
I didn't know I could have a legal drug dealer, but I do. Similar to our college arrangement, but yeah, you know, slightly old different. Yeah,
been a long time.
Folks, we are the Devil's Advocates. Air the grievances on Friday. Yours could be next. Plenty of time for you up until 5, and then fine. Former U.S. Attorney James Santel, he joins All Things Legal. In the meantime, All Things Grievance. 844-967-2789. Joe Biden and a solar eclipse. The worlds are colliding. World's colliding, Jerry, I tell ya.
Side of the moon. 60% of the time, they're right every time. The Devil's Advocates. Love.
And we're back from the 4th break. Thank you for listening to Devil's Advocates Radio Show. It's Friday. We air the grievances. Love it when you join us. Let us know what you're thinking. 844-967-2789.
Dominic, I have big weekend plans. I am priming and painting the Jordan Love Boat.
You're painting?
Oh, yeah. It's going to be the shiniest boat on Long Lake. Painting? Oh, yeah.
You're lacquering it up yourself? Yeah, really?
Buddy, not only am I personally painting, I wanted to go local. I wasn't buying my paint off Amazon or something, you know, so I'm thinking, well, I'll start with the local hardware stores. And then I'll go to the local paint store. And then I'll go to the boat store on North Lake. And then I'll drive to Lodi. And then I'll come back through the hardware store in Wanakee. What? And what I've realized, Dom, is, you know, this marine paint, as it's called, this boat paint, it's like a ninja. It hides. And even though the hardware stores say they have it in stock, when you get there, they stiff you.
No, they don't have it in stock. So you've been driving all over looking for any. I mean, was it a specific color or a specific spec?
You know, the boat is white. I now learned it was white. I thought it was yellow and green, but that was just like the water line and the discoloration. It had been so mistreated, this poor old fiberglass boat from the 1970s. And, yeah, you know, I've got a couple of grand invested in this bad boy, but, you know, it was water worthy and we had a good time last summer. So I went out and I compared other alternative boats, and I found myself thinking, that's too much boat. I don't need all that much boat. So, you know, I'm back to falling in love with my Jordan Love boat, the first and perhaps only boat I'll ever love, Dom. And so if it's going to be mine, and I'm going to have guys like you come out and party on that boat, well, you know, it's got to be cool and painted up. And then I'm going to bring my father-in-law over, who used to do body work once upon a time, and we're going to wet sand it so it's like perfect high gloss finish. Oh, you're going to be able to, you know, drink tequila and lick salt off that boat, Dom.
Oh, nice.
You know, but you got to be careful.
It's white with green highlights, right? Are you keeping the green highlights?
Oh, well, the green will not get painted this weekend because I will have to order the green off Amazon. They claimed that the hardware store at Wanakee, at least the Ace Hardware, their online inventory, claimed they had a can of green marine paint, which would have been perfect. 1 quart, that's all I needed. Could have painted the green. I get there and the guy looks at me like I'm smoking some of the devil's lettuce or something. I want some of what you're smoking. He's like, no, they don't have green. Apparently they don't stock it at the local hardware store, despite what their own inventory computer says. And so anyways, I'm back to waiting for delivery from Amazon, apparently. So the white, it's going to be shiny and white, and I'm going to prime the green parts.
Okay. All right.
But I'm going to have to order some green on Amazon because I'm not going to be able to buy that locally. See, I'm trying to support my local vendors, Dom. We ask our audience to support our local sponsors, our sponsor partners like Herbal Aspect. It's the least I can do. But got to go to Amazon and stick more money in Bezos' pocket because he needs it, right?
Oh, come on, man. You know what BOAT stands for, Crudy? Break out another thousand.
Yeah, but when you only invest $2,000 from the get-go, right. I mean, I got like $115 in paint and primer. So, you know, we'll see how this project goes. This could wreck the boat. You never can tell. Or at least so embarrass the family, they'll never want to appear. Because I got to tell you, when I had the Jeep wrapped up with the Devil Radio logos,
yeah,
you know, my kids didn't like me dropping them off at school.
A little too flamboyant for them?
They felt like Dad was a little too committed to the brand. I thought about painting flames on the side of this boat, you know, going like old car style, you know, with the flames, you know, sort of devil's advocate style.
Flaming. Right, like kind of like grease or something like that.
Yes. Something like that. Grease but lightning. As the boat has already been branded, the Jordan Love boat, and it does have green vinyl seats, which will be nearly irreplaceable. I'm going to have to stay with the original plan. It is the Jordan Love boat.
Getting the new vinyl on boats, it's not cheap either. It's going to cost you about as much as a boat.
I would never be able to match this 1970s color green. I mean, it's pretty unique. I'll just say that. I think I had some shag carpet once upon a time this color in about 1976. And the boat is a 1976 Gaston or something like that. But here's my last little. I was so excited last week. And when I came to the realization, you know, I was going to brand it back. The branded boat, Gaston, I think, G-A-S-T-O-N, something like that. Maybe it's longer than that, Gaston Liner. But a big G. And it is the Jordan Love boat. So I'm going to paint that G. I'm going to use their brand and make it look like a Packer G on the side of the boat. I'm so proud of myself. Like that came to me like an epiphany. Like
how long is the boat? What's the size of your 1976?
No more than 16 feet.
Really? It's my 1976 long. Baby blue Cadillac Eldorado convertible is 18 and a half feet long.
Well, that's quite a boat you've got. Let's see it float though. Mine's more party worthy, at least on the waterways. You know, we could drive your boat to the water's edge. And then get into the Jordan Love boat.
There we go.
Setting a tone. You know, one other quick headline I want to throw in here of the political sort. Then we'll get to your grievances if you're patient at 844-967-2789. I do plan on drinking copious amounts of rum this weekend because that's also a tradition. I go out to the rural parts and I go to my cabin. You know, I paint a boat and I get drunk. That's the plan. But be careful. Be careful. Because you could end up like Lauren Boebert overserved and cut off from booze at a Trump fundraiser. Oh,
what? When's the last time you've been cut off, Crudy? Ever?
I have been cut off. I got cut off. Really? Last time I got cut off was at a bar in Boulder, Colorado. It was a Sunday. I was day drinking, watching football, which was not my team. Maybe it was a Saturday afternoon because the kid behind the bar was wearing a Penn State jersey. And this was after the coaching incidents with the alleged whatever rape or molestation of some young.
Oh, right. Yeah, yeah.
Sandusky, Penn I think State. The coach's name. Sort of a Denny Hassert circumstance they had there. And apparently this kid who was wearing his Penn State jersey, although he's out in Colorado, and, you know, I had a pocket full of legal weed in my pocket, had run the mass transit out there, the light rail or whatever, all the way to Boulder, yeah. The high speed. I think we're going to have bus rapid transit in Madison soon. So legal weed in my pocket, smoked a little of that, I suspect. And then I drank lots of doubles, double Captain Cokes. And then I started making jokes about Sandusky and Penn State. And for some reason, that SOB cut me off. Like, he took it personal just because he was wearing a Penn State jersey. Well,
what was Bulbert wearing?
I don't know, Dom, but she appeared to be so inebriated at a fundraiser late last year, the servers refused to give her any additional booze. Has that ever happened to you, Dom? I know you're a prestigious little drinker.
Ah, no, man. I keep control, dude. I keep it level.
I remember being at one of our college roommates' weddings and like passing out in the lobby there. I was tired.
Like in a bar stool, the head bobber, and we were, you know, kind of tapping you when we walked by.
Yeah, that was fun. I love when you guys do that. Guy has 12 too many drinks, and right away you got to mess with them. Come back. More Devils. Your grievances are next. 844-96-PARTY.
The Devil's Advocate. Radio for every
get your towels ready. It's about to go down. Everybody in the place hit the open deck. But stay on your mother toes. We running this. Let's go.
I'm on a boat. I'm on a boat. Everybody look at me because I'm sailing on a boat.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Friday edition. I'm going to paint the boat. And then I'll get on the boat. And I'm going to enjoy my summer on the boat.
Oh, the boat, man.
Maybe someday when I die, you can, you know, light that boat on fire like a Viking funeral.
Your funeral pyre.
After Jordan Love is inducted into the NFL Hall of Fame and wins 4 consecutive Super Bowls, then I'll go down with my Jordan Love boat. We'll go down together, Dom.
Go down with the boat, Curdy. Never leave the boat, Captain.
Real quick, want to get back and finish, put a bow on the Lauren Boebert being overserved at the Trump fundraising function, apparently, Dom, that was reported by CNN. And again, just in case you missed it, according to CNN's reporting, Boebert was attending a fundraiser in Manhattan in December when a server determined that she had been overserved. It would not bring her any more alcohol. I know that feeling, no, Lauren. What's more, Boebert at the fundraiser kept attempting to snap selfies with former President Donald Trump to such an extent that Trump security detail stepped in and asked Boebert to stop.
You got to stop.
I've never been accused of too many selfies.
You saw her in D.C. When you were in D.C., right?
MAGA Mike Johnson was elected.
Thing, right?
What's that?
She's a short little thing, right?
She is. Very petite. Yeah. We crossed paths crossing the square around the Capitol Square in D.C. I think she gave me a look, Dom. Not sure what it meant, but she looked at me.
I think she meant, can you go get me a six-pack of Stroh's?
More of a Hams look. Boebert's allies questioned whether she was really as drunk at the fundraiser as witnesses claimed, and they chalked that up to perception of the congresswoman's boisterous and loud personality that can sometimes be misconstrued. Yeah, I have been similarly accused. Just because I'm the life of the party, people think I'm a little too hammer drunk.
You and Boebert are the same.
But different. What's more, Trump Nonetheless, gave Boebert his endorsement in the weeks after the fundraiser, which Boebert's allies say demonstrate he wasn't overly bothered by her antics at the fundraiser. Yes, she is, relative to most Republicans, an attractive woman. I'm sure that Donald Trump hates drunk, relatively attractive Republican women trying to take selfies with him. That seems like something.
The incident in question took place just months after Boebert was ejected from a Denver theater where security camera footage showed her vaping and groping her date during a performance of the Beetlejuice musical.
That's what Boebert I call apologized. Good time on a Saturday night.
Boebert apologized for the incident and vowed to be better behaved in the future. Well, she apologized for the incident after totally denying it and flipping off the security that were escorting her out. Wasn't me, didn't happen. Oh, there's security? Oh, yeah, I guess it did. Byron Donalds, he's a rep Republican from Florida, said this.
If I can interject here, I got to appreciate the congresswoman's willingness to extend to her date a happy ending to the evening.
I mean, don't say Beetlejuice three times. Look, some of the stuff that popped up wasn't the best stuff to see, Byron Donalds said.
Was that on her date's pants?
Even she acknowledges that, but none of us are perfect. Just because we're elected officials doesn't mean we're any more perfect than anybody else. Stuff happens, but I think she has been able to do her job, and that's all that matters at the end of the day.
There's a reason why Crudy will not run successfully for higher elective office. It's I'm a Wisconsinite. I like to party like the next guy, but occasionally, just once or twice a year, maybe a decade, you know, it extends to being overserved. I blame Dominic typically, and
it's all my fault.
Apologize to all my companions during the evening.
I am not a role model, Crudy. I've been telling my kids this for 20 years.
And they believe you. 844-967-2789. I, by contrast, am a great role model for your children. Hey, Tom, welcome back to the show. How you doing, Tom? Hey, also Tom. A great role model, guys. And a friend of ours. L.A. Tom, how you doing, fella?
I am doing great. Thank you guys so much. First off, we the people ultimately are the government. The power is in our hands. Everybody get out and vote. Everybody get out and register.
Now, are we back to talking about Lauren Boebert?
No, we're not. But I have a couple of grievances, actually. I was listening to MSNBC last night, and this guy that was on there on the Stephanie Ruhle show was saying that, you know what, we need to stop acting like Donald Trump is a normal candidate, and this is a normal election. This guy is not, this is not normal. And we need to really, as media really needs to start, you know, saying exactly why it is that this is not a normal candidate. It's just starting with the 91 indictments, for God's sakes. But I mean, actually saying this is what this guy has done over and over again in terms of not giving him the press about some of the quirky things he does, or like how Jimmy Kimmel might, you know, put him to be like he's kind of a joke or whatever. It's got to be where this guy's dangerous, and this is either democracy or an authoritarian dictator, and you know, well, we can end up in camp.
I get it, Tom, but I hear it all the time, and I guess maybe not everybody's doing it, but the lady that hosts the Deadline White House, it's on MSNBC, like literally as we speak,
Nicole Wallace. Yeah,
always starts out, you know, the four-time indicted, 91 charged. I mean, it's part of the introduction. It's like part of his title of Donald Trump. So, I mean, how would you like that to be phrased? Because I get what you're saying, and it's certainly not a normal election. This is certainly abnormal, given the character and the circumstances and the actions that Donald Trump has decided to do. And so I get that. But what else can you do? I mean, how would you present, hey, here's what the crazy stuff that Donald Trump did today, and compare it to here's what Joe Biden, the current president, is doing? In what way, other than like how Nicole Wallace is doing it?
Well, I think Nicole Wallace is doing a pretty good job with it. I guess, you know, I'm still, you know, you guys know I've always been had a problem with the top of the news and the bottom of the news hour, where, you know, where they basically either you know, like the other day, they said, oh, Donald Trump won his election. And then, of course, they play a little splice of him talking about his winning the election. Oh, Joe Biden won his election, too. And not even a word, not even, any type of words that came out of, you know, Joe Biden. And I just think that, you know what, this is not a normal guy. This is a guy that will put people like myself, a gay person, into a camp. No problem at all right there. We'll put, you know, he'll do exactly the Hitler playbook. And I just think that sometimes in the media, we try to do this both sidesism thing. And it's like, this is not both sidesism. This is not your normal candidate. This is not your normal person. And this guy, if he gets power, you know, say goodbye to any type of legislative branch or any type of judicial branch. He's going to tear all of that apart. Netanyahu would have done that, but he couldn't do it. And the Israeli people are looking to get rid of him as fast as they possibly can. But the thing is, we have got to be aware of all of the guardrails that will be gone with this guy. And remember, when he says Social Security will be there, BS. The guy, every time his lips are moving, he's lying. And, you know, I just don't want people, I want to be on record, I guess, saying that, hey, look, this happens, and you guys are on the fence about who it is you should vote for. This isn't a joke. This isn't a, hey, let's give this thing a try. This is, if this happens, forget about the Supreme Court. Forget about any type of rights that you have. Forget about the fact that you're going to have to take an oath to the dear leader. I mean, you're going to have to do all that.
And I get that, Tom, and I appreciate that. Let me ask you this question, though. Whether or not, you know, Donald Trump wins or doesn't win, you know, he would not have the power that he has if it was not for those that support him, those that allow him to happen, those that not only the voters, because those folks are going to still be here, Tom. The same folks that would support Donald Trump putting gay people in camps. I haven't heard that, but let's go down that road. Let's say he's going to do the camps, or he has said he's going to deport, you know, all the immigrants in this country, right? He has said those things. Yeah. Well, he couldn't get away with that without the support of his followers, right? And whether or not Donald Trump becomes the president, goes to the White House or the big house, those people are still going to be there, man. They're still going to have those same kind of thoughts and agreements with the current president. You know what I'm saying? So what actually changes then?
I totally get what you're saying, but honestly, those people were hiding under rocks before and they did not have the power. Now they will have the power. And when they have the power, I mean, you know, we can look at it again, such as our history shows us. You know, Hitler, in terms of the fact that he had the brown shirts and he had, you know, I mean, I'm sure that was 30% of the country when it first started also. But the thing is, little by little, they take over. And before we know it, not all of us, even you MAGAs out there, you will be targeted sooner or later.
Well, that's thanks for the call, Tom. Always appreciate it. Happy Friday, man. It's a great grievance. I get it. And that's the thing about fascism, man. You know, it's like a loose fire hose. Everyone thinks, oh, it's going to be fine because it's my fascist. Yeah, until it turns on you, man. And then you become a victim of the fascism. The guy said years ago, the weirdest thing I ever saw with Donald Trump was him saying that stupid snake story. Remember, that was just the oddest thing. Oh, I'm a snake. Why did you bite me? Because I'm a snake. That's what I do. And, you know, the person dies. She found a snake and brings it to hell. Snake bites her and he dies. I'm a snake. The guy's literally telling us the story. And I rally thinking to myself, what are you talking about? Well, of course, it's very evident. He is the snake. He'll tell you he's the snake. He'll shake your hand and piss down your leg. And then the Trump supporters will be, yeah, give me more. Give me more of that. So, I mean, Trump is the finite problem, but he would not be there if it weren't for all the supporters and all the folks that think like him. He represents them.
Did you see the recent reporting last day or two? There may be more classified docs in Trump's possession. Can you see if this guy goes through another FBI seizure, another raid at Trump Tower?
I mean, it's never ending with this guy. I mean, he can't not help being a criminal. And you give a guy like that access to national secrets and assets, literally. I mean, this is what Donald Trump knows. He recognizes, if nothing else, the value. And it's all about leverage for the guy. And if he can make a little bit of money, he can, you know, move something around and, you know, influence something based on something that he took from the government that ours, you know, these are our documents, folks. Pardon me. No, I haven't
They're
seen
mine.
That, but I'm not surprised.
I declassified them in my brain.
Everything that Donald Trump has done that we found out about. No, hell to the no, man. Of course not. And the things that we do know about that we are trying to adjudicate, of course, the guy plays, you know, defense to the nth degree and delay, delay, delay. And, you know, it's so far working. But apparently a week from Monday, jury selection starts in the first election interference case. What do you call it, Crudy? The Stormy Tax Daniels.
Day. Oh, it used to be the case. Porn star hush money case. Now it is the voter deception case, because that's really what we're talking about. These efforts were undertaken. This cover up was undertaken to deceive the voters immediately after the Access Hollywood film. The criming is the cooking of the books to hide it from the American people. So there are crimes that have been committed. They were charged as felonies. Got to correct Tom very slightly. I love when people do that to me. We're down to 88 felonious charges. Three were dropped, if you'll recall them.
Okay, thank you.
I've seen that corrected in a few of the reportings.
Yeah. Well, here's
88 again, felonious charges against the mayor.
Whether or not Trump's in the big house or the White House, the enablers and the supporters are still going to be here. They're still there. We still have a lot of work to do with our friends, our neighbors, you know, all of that. We're going to come together. We have to have some sort of, you know, basis of understanding. And I'm not clear that we're there yet. Hell, as far as I know, these Republicans still think that January 6th was a big setup, man. It was just a man setting up a bunch of peaceful patriots. Clay Higgins said that from Louisiana. My new mega ass. So when Trump goes away, people like Clay, they're still going to be around.
More Devil's Advocates. When you hear from us next, Crudy might be on a boat. Eclipse Day when Joe Biden's in Madison. No, I'll be in the studio. Or at you.
I would have gotten away with it too if it wasn't for those meddling Devil's Advocates.
Yeah, thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Air your grievances here, 844-967-2789. Crudy, I got one. It's Clay Higgins, just a little bit here from the New York Times. GOP Congressman's wild claim, the FBI entrapped January 6th rioters. Now, I've heard this from friends. I've heard this from family members. This is not a fringe theory, apparently. And this guy, Clay Higgins, Rep. Clay Higgins, a Republican from Louisiana.
What, don't you know how to unfriend somebody?
Even by a conspiracy theory standards, the wild claims made by Representative Clay Higgins, a Republican of Louisiana, stand out. The hard right congressman, now in his fourth term in the House, has said that ghost buses took agent provocateurs to the Capitol on January 6th to instigate the riot. He's claimed that the federal government is waging a civil war against Texas. He's called the criminal charges against former President Trump for mishandling classified documents a perimeter probe from the oppressors. But far from relegating Higgins to the fringe of their increasingly fractious conference, House Republicans have elevated him. They made him a chairman of the subcommittee overseeing border enforcement, and Speaker Mike Johnson named him one of 11 impeachment managers tasked with trying to remove Homeland Security Secretary from office in a Senate trial set to take place next week. None of it has dampened Higgins' penchant for spreading unsupported theories. That's a nice way to put it. Many of which portray law enforcement and the government as evil conspiratorial in an evil conspiratorial light. Now, he was a former cop, this guy. This week in a lengthy podcast interview, he expounded at length on his belief. Based, he said, on his own extensive investigation, he did his own research, Crudy, and evidence that only he has been able to see that federal law enforcement officers entrapped Trump supporters into violently attacking the Capitol on January 6th. He was repeating a conspiracy theory that has been debunked repeatedly. Over the course of a two-hour interview, Higgins, wearing a shirt emblazoned with the logo of the Three Percenters, a right-wing anti-government militia, again, Higgins is in the government, a right-wing anti-government militia, repeated the lie that the 2020 election was fraudulent. He laid out an outlandish story that tied the rise of the coronavirus pandemic to what he said was a plot by the government to infiltrate pro-Trump online forums and urge members to engage in riotous behavior, as he puts it. Finally, he said also groundlessly that federal agents posing as Trump supporters traveled to Washington on January 6th and tricked Trump's backers into carrying out mob violence. Higgins claimed that he had conducted his own investigation into what happened that day. He predicted once that House Republicans finish posting security footage of the attack online, charged once that happened, once all the tapes came out, Crudy, once we saw all the security, the charges against the January 6th defendants would crumble. The whole thing was a nefarious agenda to entrap mega Americans.
Well, the great news.
Higgins, real quick, last one. Before coming to Congress, was accused of using unnecessary force when he was a police officer. I mean, of course he was. So Clay Higgins, so this guy, embraced by MAGA, you know, total conspiratorial nut job, violent ex-police officer, thin blue line, right? But his cats were attacking the cops, but that was only because they were entrapped by the federal government, of which he is a representative therein.
Well, I was going to give him acknowledgement for a wonderful imagination. Very creative, this one.
So whatever happens to Trump, man, Clay Higgins is here, man. Mega Mike Johnson is here.
I mean, I wonder how many of them were co-conspirators in the January 6th attack on the U.S. Capitol. How many of them were co-conspirators in the coup attempt against the U.S. government? I'm not clear that Mega Mike and Clay and Gozer and a number of others, Dom, I think eventually, after the trial of Trump, and God knows if that's ever going to happen, but I think eventually many of these other congressional MAGA enablers and co-conspirators, well, I think they're going to get caught up. The unindicted co-conspirators, their turn's coming. Not quickly enough. You know, I'm quite impatient, Dom.
Well, and it does a little bit from Politico. I think it was from yesterday. Reps Andy Biggs, Paul Gozar subpoenaed an Arizona probe of Trump fake electors. The Arizona Attorney General is nearing a decision.
Those are criminal probes.
Trump with crimes. But there's no indication Biggs or Gosar will face charges, according to Politico. So, you know, some state attorneys general, some of them, Josh Call, are, you know, charging or at least investigating. Now, I know Josh Call here in the state of Wisconsin apparently might be doing an investigation. We don't know. But, yeah, I mean, there should be some consequence to trying to overturn the government and engaging in the conspiracy to do so.
I would think. 844-967-2789. Dom, the text line, trying to save me from myself, apparently. There are a number of experienced painters out there giving me serious advice.
All right. Here's a little bit.
First, on painting
your boat.
On painting the Jordan Love boat, which will soon be the coolest boat in Washoe County. First one gives me a paint store tip. Nope. Premier Paint and Wallpaper. Great local South East Madison. Oh, I haven't been there before. You know, if they sponsored us, maybe I'd go there. Here's another one. Do you have any idea what you're doing? As an ex-painter,
no, he does not.
I assure you this project is not for Sunday painters. Well, just for the record, I'm doing it on Saturday.
Yeah, so there.
Here's another one. Crudy, don't want to burst your bubble, but check the paint can for the temperature when it's good to paint. Well, if I wait for the weather, I'm never going to paint. So I'm going to turn the heater on in the garage and see if I can die from the fumes.
That'll great, man. I'd smoke some cigarettes in there while you're at it.
Here's one more, Dom. This advice more for you, I think. Angie from Monroe texted in. Why I stopped drinking? Didn't want to make national news having fun. Just smoke my weed. No. That's good advice for most of us. Here's one more. I agree with L.A. Tom. I don't care what cable news does. I want the network news to call out Trump and Trumpsters as not normal, as quite frankly bad for the nation, and explain why. Dom, here's something I learned within the hour. Learned it from our fine sponsor partner over at Herbal Aspect, Alan Robinson. He said, hey, great job on CNN. I saw you, Crudy, on Anderson Cooper 360. You had a very large speaking part.
Oh, excellent.
And I said, what? Because I know they interviewed me earlier in the week, like Monday, but they also promised they would tell me so I could watch the TV and tell friends and family, you know, boasting and that kind of stuff. And maybe the audience, I'd tell you to watch as well. But apparently I've already been on the CNN. And here we are on Friday. We're airing grievances. Dom, I've got an article from CNN that extensively quotes me, and nobody in this audience has heard me quoting me in far too long. So there might be time for that. We'll see.
You are your own biggest fan.
Oh.
I mean, yeah, right?
What's not to like?
I mean.
And I'm also a big fan of our next guest. He is James Santel, former U.S. attorney. And the text line tells me amicus, either one, apparently okay for pronunciation. Thanks, Jeff.